It is our tremendous prayer and desire, Lord, that you would flow through us. Fill us and flow through us, O God. We desire so much, Lord, that your presence will have a resting place. And we thank you, Lord, that that has happened. And that is what you are doing, finding a home for yourself in this world, Lord God. You are the light in the dark world, Lord God. You are the place, Father, of rest. And we are thankful that we can be part of this great family. And we just know, Lord, that you have something tremendous that you want to accomplish today. Everyone that's here is that we're at our post of duty, oh God. We're believing and knowing that you have something specific for each person, that you have predetermined before creation, before the world began, that you would do something for us in this hour. So we're here, Lord. We're standing ready. We've invited you, Lord, and we welcome you. Come, Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Have your Bibles. We'll turn to Luke chapter 4. How many really enjoyed Brother Chad Lamb last Sunday? Wasn't that tremendous? Wow, I'm still having a revival. I picked up Brother Sherman, and I had to grab him from floating away and put him in the car. He was, and then we're just fellowshipping, coming, and it's so exciting. It's so exciting. Let's read a verse, and then you can be seated, and I have a little bit of a testimony for you. Luke chapter 4, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. Those four verses there we're going to read. This is the time after Jesus is filled without measure with the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, tested, 40 days of fasting. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And it says also in Matthew, I believe it is, and all their glory. Kingdoms have a kind of a glory, right? Cities have a glory, or kingdoms. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomsoever I wish. In other words, the Antichrist. But he's offering it to Christ first. Isn't that pretty cool? Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered, and you're going to love this. This is what saved our lives. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. It says in the other passage, go away. I like that. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You may be seated. How many loves his word today? Amen. His word is our life. His word is our liberty. His word creates love, true love in us. And that love is what's going to get us out of here. Amen. I know we believe faith, right? Faith, but faith is motivated by love. So love first, faith next, the rest will happen. Drives us toward those things. How many appreciates the worship this morning? Wow, Brother Josh, I always love it when he leads the worship. There's just something very organic about it, and it just brings you right into God's presence. I love all of our worship leaders. Dan is such a, wow, that brother, you know, he can really sing and worship. And Brother James, of course, we love that too. And I don't want to put Brother David on the spot, but I need him every now and then to give me a song. Just because I know he's like, he has something rolling around and a song that he thinks, sometime, Brother David, anytime you feel like it, raise your hand and we'll say, all right, what do you got, Brother Dave? What do you got? So we love that. I enjoyed spending some time with Sister Hulda on Wednesday, and just got to get out more and just to visit everybody. So she has an operation that she went to Thursday, right? Thursday, and Sister Dawn, I'm sure you can give us a report at some time. So we want to find out that it's all right. And that has to do with her eyes. She just needs God's healing touch so that she can get her much better vision back than what she's been dealing with. A lot of challenges there. Amen? So it's good to have Brother Sherman with us. We sure appreciated him a couple of Wednesdays ago, but I've asked him to preach this coming Sunday. So he's going to be speaking. You're all going to be treated. And I'll tell you right now, I just love the Jamaican accent. I'm going to be honest. But when he gets in there in the mode, you'll get right past the accent. You'll get right past Brother Sherman, and you'll realize the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. That's just the way the Lord uses him, and I love that about him. So I'm excited about that. So a little bit of a testimony. I talked to Brother Chad Lamb. He asked me to call him. We talked a little bit the other day. I think it was Friday, and he wanted to get Brother Simon Peter's number, and here's why. He said that he has a couple of missionary brothers that have been traveling to Dominican Republic. There's something going on there. There hasn't been a message church there. Haiti has had several. And you know, Dominican Republic, Haiti, it's all one island. They're just split in half. And Haiti has been so devastated by natural disasters and by also other things that we don't need to talk about. But they've been just a disaster there. Yet, Brother Andre Petit says there's at least 20,000 plus believers there. So that's pretty amazing. Lots of churches, lots of groups popping up. But for some reason, just going across, no one's been able to get any results in Dominican Republic. And you know, there's such a language barrier. Dominican Republic speaks Spanish. Haiti speaks French and Creole, mainly Creole. So there's not really a connection there. And these two brothers started going there, and sure enough, it's just exploding. They're denominational churches, but they want this message. So they're actually down there preaching right out of the church age book, just preaching to their churches, and they're coming in very quickly. So there's a lot of movement there. While these brothers were traveling or on their way, I think they were in New York City at the airport waiting. This gentleman took a break. He was working in the airport in New York City. He took a break, and he said, "Hey, I see you're reading your Bible." And they started talking. Well, while they sat and talked, they introduced the message to him. And this guy fell in love with it. He went and shared it with his pastor. His pastor fell in love with it. They got the church age book, all the other, and they're just preaching it from the pulpit. The church is loving it, and they've been begging these two brothers to come. So they're traveling back there again, and that's the reason why Brother Chad says, you got to give me Brother Simon Peter's number, and that's going to be the connection. So let's pray for that church. That's a whole entire church just coming right on over. Into this truth. Well, we don't know yet, but we believe. Let's trust the Lord that God can sweep a whole group over. While you have these long-standing groups, you know, where people are in and out, and some are just walking away wholesale, leaving, all of a sudden you see God just says, "Okay, well, if you don't want it, I'll go to the highways and the byways, and I'll bring somebody else in." How's that sound? And God can do it in the most interesting, creative ways. I love the way he does things. I think of our brother Tommy over there, you know. Look at his background. I mean, just all he was Catholic. That's all he ever knew. He didn't have much really strictly going on in his life, and then he just fell in love. He fell in love with Jesus. You know what the message is? It's Jesus coming alive in your life. Who wouldn't want that? I don't want to believe in a historical Jesus, 2,000 years ago Jesus, Jesus million miles high in heaven Jesus. How about a Jesus who's living here right now, among us, in us, through us? That's what I love about what the message really is. So I want to deal with this thought here I had in mind, and if you want to give it a title, we'll call it One and Done. You've probably heard people say that. One, you know, it's like all you got to do is this one thing and you're all done. I truly believe with all my heart there's just one seed left. Not left, but there's going to be this time where we're coming into where it's just one seed. Our attitude should be maybe there's just one left, and my job is go get that one. So I just want to spur that in you. I want to get you excited about if I just talk to one person, that one person could be the one. Because one comes in and we are done. We go in a rapture, we go to meet the Lord and so on. So, but God has plans for your life, and you must live out your plans. At the same time, you must understand that we have a job. We are here on this earth with a purpose, and that purpose is win people over to Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? That's what we're here to do. So the devil, obviously, he shows Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. It was some kind of a supernatural vision. It's hard to know exactly how the devil was able to do this, but he had the ability to do it. And so I started thinking, well, this is an interesting statement. Kingdoms of the world. Kingdoms of the world. How many times does the Bible say kingdoms of the world? So I started to look, and it's really only a few times. You find it here in Luke, also in Matthew 4, both of them talking about the temptation. Mark bypasses it. It just says he went into the wilderness, he's tempted of the devil. That's all it says. And John doesn't really deal with it at all. It just kind of skips the whole temptation. That's okay, because John is driven to get to the third phase of Jesus' ministry, though the last year of Jesus' ministry. And by the time you get to right around John chapter 5 in a 20-something chapter book, he's already in the third year, the last year of his ministry. So that's what John's trying to do. Mark is just notorious for being cut to the chase. If you want to read the gospel, if you're a cut to the chase person, read Mark. He uses immediately more than any other guy. He's just immediately, and the next thing, and then. It's very plot, you know, very much like step by step by step. You know, it's very plotted out. That's why Mark is the ox. You know, ox, you put the plow on, he just goes. Gets it done. And he's the workhorse. He just knocks it out. It's done quick. Amen. So each one of those is coming from a different perspective. But I started realizing that all these verses are interconnected. So I went to Isaiah 23. If you want to turn there, we're going to go to Isaiah, the 23rd chapter, and just verse 17. And then I'll give you a little bit of background on what's going on here so that you can understand it. Now, I want you to keep in mind that there are Old Testament or historic happenings that God appears in and starts to deal in because it has a prophetic future language. It's speaking about a repeat in history. How many knows history repeats itself? So God can pick up on a historic event that's unfolding, and he's emphasizing it because it's going to happen again. So don't ever think that just because you read something, you know, oh, that's just Old Testament, it repeats itself. And you have to kind of know where and be a little more, put your spiritual thinking cap on, amen, and just be a little bit more in depth here. So here it is, Isaiah 23:17, and it shall be at the end of the 70 years, obviously speaking of, probably speaking of the 70 years of Israel's being in captivity. Remember, they were brought into Babylon or what have you, and then God says, I'm going to bring you back. So at the end of the 70 years, it'll be that the Lord will deal with Tyre. It's a city. Tyre is a city that's part of those nations that take Israel into captivity. But it's a very wicked city. She will return to her hire, speaking of her in the sense of a prostitute. Does that make sense to everybody? She will return to her hire. She gets paid for her work. You know what that is. And commit fornication with all the kingdoms of the world, there's our term, on the face of the earth. And so Tyre, in history, if you go back and read it, was a city that, cities are typically female, and that's what the Bible refers to her. This particular city was the one that was selling herself, as it were, to other nations, and influencing, using, out of her was just pouring all these indoctrinations of religions and gods and believing in all the polytheism, all the multiple gods, and she was just pouring out all that false, deceptive religion that other nations were absorbing and becoming part of. And the whole thing was that she would take, this city was taking control. All the roads were going through Tyre, and the city was taking control, using her powers to take control of actual kingdoms of the world. Leaders who are in the world and nations and kingdoms were all under her extreme influence. Does that make sense? And obviously by pouring into her, then the wealth was coming her way. So she was giving out her falsehood and false doctrine and the cup of anointing or wine, rather, cup of wine of fornication and so on. And you can already see where this is going. And God is using this as a type of also Jerusalem, because ultimately Jerusalem gets typed with Tyre, because that city, religious, spiritual city, starts committing fornications, bringing in false religions, false worship, and then influencing kingdoms around the world. That's still an issue to this day. Don't miss that point, because there's a side to Israel and the Jews and Jerusalem. There's a side to that that's definitely got God's thumbprint on it, right? That God cares about. He loves those people. I'll never forget you is Jerusalem, right? God says those things. At the same time, there's another side, because the devil has always wanted Jerusalem for himself. He said, I will rule on the sides of the north. The sides of the north is a term that's actually speaking about Jerusalem, or this, or the mountain, Mount Moriah. So the devil's always had his plan to be, because whatever God sets his affection on, Satan sets his affection on. See, if God is God, Satan wants to be God. If God is worshipped, Satan wants to be worshipped. You know, he's not creative. He doesn't even have a creative thought. He can't even think of something different. He can only say, oh, if God's this way, then I'm going to be this way. You know, so, I mean, but he's very, very sharp. Don't think he's stupid. He's not. He's just so sharp, so bright, so glorious that he's self-deceived. That's really our only way that we're beating him, is that he's self-deceived. We are not. So I don't care if you feel like you're as dumb as a rock. You're not self-deceived. Amen. And even a rock, the Bible says, cut out of a mountain will destroy all the devil's kingdoms. We'll start with smashing the feet, and the rest has to come down. So you get the picture. Now, Tyre doesn't end there, because this prophecy starts to match up, if you follow it through the Bible, all the way over from Jerusalem, and we know what happened. They ultimately killed Jesus Christ, all the way into the church, the Catholic Church. It's the same thing. Same thing. She is committing spiritual fornication with the kings, influencing, controlling the kings of the world through religion. And ultimately, not just religion, but also through political power, and also through money. Those three things. Religion deceives the people, money entraps the people, political power controls the people. Don't forget those three things. That's what she's into. That's Tyra. And all through the Bible. I want you to catch that, because this is another place where the term is used, that she has. This one city has this controlling power over all the kingdoms of the world. Powerful. And then it goes into... let's see here. Maybe I'm missing something here. So Jeremiah. So if we go over to Jeremiah chapter 25... It starts talk. God starts speaking in these amazing terms in Jeremiah, and it's ultimately, this is very end time language. And I want you to see how this applies. But there's always been times in history when people or leaders or nations have gone a little crazy. I think Hitler was one of the crazy ones. But if you keep looking back in history, you'll see crazy nations. Nations go crazy. You know, it's just mind-boggling. But you can see what God is doing, because he's involved. Now watch. We're reading Jeremiah 25, verse 17 and 18. Then I took the cup from the Lord's hand. This is the prophet Jeremiah. Took the cup from the Lord's hands and made all the nations drink to whom the Lord had sent me. Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, its kings and its princes, to make them a desolation, an astonishment, a hissing, and a curse, as it is this day. Amazing language. So what he's doing is he's in a vision. And in that vision, God says, take this cup and make the nations drink it. And what it is, it's a cup of madness where they just go crazy. And they start being at each other's throats and wanting to, you know, start all kinds of warfare. And ultimately, they're on a road of self-destruction. And so, and it doesn't end there. He goes on to verse 26, for example. All the kings of the north. It goes through all the list of all the kings in the whole world drinking this cup. And it says, all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another. And all the kingdoms of the world. There's our phrase. All the kingdoms of the world, which are on the face of the earth. Also the king of Shishak shall drink after them. They all drink of this cup. Therefore, and then it goes on to say, I think it's verse 27 there. Therefore, you shall say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, drink, be drunk, and vomit, fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. It's powerful. Then it goes on, I think, to 29 or somewhere in there. But anyway, it says, for behold, I begin to bring calamity on. Listen to what he says here. Behold, I begin to bring, because the first city, remember the first place he said to have them drink? I begin to bring calamity on the city which is called by my name. And should you be utterly unpunished? You shall not be unpunished, for I will call a sword on all the inhabitants of the earth, says the Lord of hosts. And it goes on to say, therefore prophesy against them all these words and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high. I want to stop right there. Here's what I want you to catch. When God starts meting out judgment, he is going to begin that judgment right at his own house. He's going to begin at his own home. He's going to clean up his own house first. The house that's called by his own name. He's going to clean that up first. And then he's going to deal with everyone that is under that influence. Everyone else. I don't know if you realize it or not, but as long as the bride of Jesus Christ is on this earth with the Holy Spirit upon her, two things, one thing, let's just say, can't happen, and that is the Antichrist can't take full control. He's blocked. He's barred. He's being, the Bible uses the term, he's being withheld. He's being hindered. He's being stopped. Because God wants his bride to be completed first. Once she's completed, and once she's caught up, then that thing can just go crazy. But the man of sin, the Antichrist, is already revealed to us. We know at least what his office is and who he'll be. However, his full unfolding doesn't happen till we get out of here. Praise the Lord. Amen. So God has the Son of Man revealed first to get a bride ready, and then the Son of Satan gets revealed second, but we'll be gone. How many is excited about that? Yes, right. I'm getting ready to move. Hallelujah. See what I'm saying? So notice, though, that the Lord says, look, if I'm going to deal with my own city, my own house that has my name, you nations think you're going to get out of it? Not going to work like that. So catch what's happening. God's always done it the same way. He dealt with Israel. He dealt with Jerusalem. They rejected Christ. Judgment comes in 40 years. And then it just starts everywhere else has to deal with it. Look at Rome. It doesn't take long. Rome is gone in 400 years. And God just will continually do it that way. But look at where we're at today, saints. Do you understand that God can't call every denomination the place where his name is? He's calling you that, the bride, around the world. We're made up of some several million people. That's where his name is. That's the place of worship. That's where he comes and he's worshiped. Do you believe that? But that's his house. And don't you think it makes sense that when God is ready to move, the Bible is very clear, we're reading the scripture as prophetic to our day, that all the nations are going to go crazy, all these things, it's already begun. It already started right at the house of God. We've already been experiencing people getting radical, right? Free radicals. Leaving the truth and saying, I don't need that anymore. And they end up in such a ditch, such a terrible situation. Why? Because right in God's house, he's going to shake it. He says, I will shake it, but it'll just prove that the kingdom cannot be shaken. Amen? That anything that is of his kingdom will not be shaken. Anything that's not of his kingdom gets shaken out. In another place, he says, I'll send my angels and they will pluck out of my kingdom those things which do not belong. And God began that whole process, you could say, all the way back to 63. The angels came, they've been plucking. They're inspection angels, right? They are investigating angels. They're God's FBI. They come and they're working on an investigation, right? It's still a secret, but yet we know because we're part of it. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting when the FBI angels come to you and transform your life and you find out, oh, I'm clear. I got nothing between me and God. I am sinless. Hallelujah. God is gracious that way. Amen. And it's powerful and it gives us grace. And we'll bring this into a greater realm. But look at what's happening. So now you're starting to see it go from the house of God. I believe he's pretty much done with the craziness. The house of God. You see it in the church world. Look at the church world. Look at the pastors and leaders falling, you know, just all kinds of things being exposed. And, you know, just their whole lives and things that they've been doing and stuff that's going on behind the scenes now being exposed, brought out in the open. Look what's going on in the church world. Now look what's going on in the political world, in the nations. Watch what God is doing. He's making them drink. And notice what's happening. There's a kind of madness. When I say madness, I don't mean anger. Unless you want to call it anger to the point of madness. Madness actually means craziness. Amen? And that's true. You see some kind of anger that's to the point of being crazy. People are saying things and shouting things and screaming things and going into the streets. There's kind of a craziness going on. And it's all around the world. There's this craziness. Because what's happening is they're drinking the cup of madness. And don't let it bother you. Don't get worried about it. God's got a plan. You can read the rest of the chapter and you'll see his whole plan is he is going to stir up the whole world. The whole world will get stirred up. And it's going to do two things. It's letting the bride of Jesus Christ know the near coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That he will come and he will meet us in the air, rapture us out of here. Can you say amen? And that's our redemption. In the meantime, the world will be looking for a Messiah and they'll get the wrong Messiah who will preach a gospel of peace and safety, and it will be a lie. Is that true? And that's exactly what we're in right now. We're in a time when it's so crazy. We want to go back to the days when life was simple and easy. Not going to happen, saints. You're on this ship, and we're rolling along here now. You can't bail. You're not going to get off now. Stay on the ship. Stay with the program. Trust the plan. Just watch. God's doing something amazing. And I'm so excited that we get to be part of that, aren't you? So now I want to deal with this concept of kingdoms of the world. Now a kingdom is a rulership. It is a place of use of authority. It is a position of authority. And it spells out regions of jurisdiction. Don't forget what I'm saying here. Hold on to these thoughts because it's going to help you. Brother Branham talked about why Jesus turned down the devil's offer. All the kingdoms of the world, I will give you. And you'll notice, Brother Branham makes something very an important statement about it. He says the reason why Jesus turned down all the kingdoms of the world is because he said he knew he'd fall heir to them from Calvary. So in other words, remember when Abraham was told, you want to bury your wife, here's Shechem said, here, take the land. You can have the land. We're going to give it to you. He says, no, I'm going to buy it. And he paid for it. And there's other places in the Bible where things were offered to people and God's people had the supernatural wisdom to say, no, I'm paying for it. Because it's going to come again where Jesus stands there and the devil says, I'll just give it to you. All you got to do is bow down. I mean, what does that cost you? It cost you a lot. Because if he had bowed down at all, even a knee, you and I would be lost forever. Think about that. But instead, He saw Calvary ahead of him. He knew it was coming. He knew that he would have to purchase the kingdoms with his own blood. He would make a purchase. And that's why he purchased you, body, spirit, and soul. You are purchased. You are owned by the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to bring up three things that sometimes gets confused with ownership. one of them is ownership, but the other two are where people get confused. There's three things, and actually there's really four. So if you want, I'll just throw the first one out and call it influence. People could have influence over property. They could have influence over things, and with that influence, you could cause whatever that is that's in your realm that you're influencing to be impacted. Is that true? Think about that for a minute. Influence is pretty powerful. The second thing is management. If you're in a management position, if you get hired at a company to be a manager, you're responsible for people, you're responsible for material, you're responsible for inventory, whatever it might be. It could be the property itself if you're like a property manager. So you have an indirect and a direct positioning. There's a position there and it's a managerial position. A lot of Christians in this church, in this bride, in this end time, are acting like influencers and managers. They don't realize that God has called us to a higher place. There's higher realms than that. So let's go to the third one, we could say. So first one, influence, second one, manager. The third one would be control. Somebody would actually have the position of control. Might be like a CEO. That seems pretty high up in a company. somebody who's in the board of directors. That's a pretty powerful position, but that doesn't mean that person owns anything. But they have a lot more power and authority at a jurisdiction level more than anybody else. In fact, they may be over managers. Think on that term. And then the third or the fourth one, which this is the most important one, is ownership. Now, you know, we've talked about this in the past. I want to make this really clear to you. There's a kind of a faux ownership, a pseudo ownership, a fake or false ownership that we think we have. For instance, when you buy a house and you own the property and you own the house, but do you really own it? First thing you're going to realize as soon as you own the property is you're paying taxes to somebody. Why would you have to pay taxes on something you own? Second thing you're going to realize is you're probably going to be paying a big mortgage thing. That doesn't show ownership, too. It's potential ownership. And even when you finish paying it off and you get the title, you're still paying those taxes, and you're still going to realize that if the government felt like they needed to, they could take some of your property from you. That's not real ownership. Now, biblical ownership is nobody can mess with your property. If somebody even moves a marker, a stone that you or whatever you have that's marking a corner of your property, God says they have to be judged. You cannot mess with somebody's property. This is what the devil loves to do, and the devil loves to encroach on our property. So what I want to do is I want you to get this understanding. Understand that even though there's a kingdom and somebody who's ruling in that kingdom, it doesn't mean they own it. It simply means they're influencing it, they're managing it, or they're in control of it. Just because someone controls something doesn't mean they own it. If somebody comes and steals your car and they're driving it down the road, they're in control of your car. But do they own it? Not at all. They don't have the title deed in their name. There's no connection there. Title deed is in your name. My goal with you, saints, is to help, because too many believers, too many people, and especially in the Christian world, and I think too many among us in this end time bride are living with a non-ownership, a managerial, or maybe some kind of a control mindset, and we don't have the ownership mindset. Sonship, daughtership means ownership. Can you say amen? It means you own the ship. Hallelujah. And everything in it and everybody on it. You're in control of all of that. I want you to develop that thought in your mind that even though there's a whole kingdom you live in a certain city. Somebody is the mayor of that city. There's people who are running the town hall of that city and so on. You know you got all that going on, right? So all that's happening, and you just feel like you're under that thing. To a certain extent, the Bible says pray for your leaders, pray for those. Because on a natural level, they have a job to do. Because there's going to be people who only live on the natural plane causing trouble. And so you need someone to settle those differences. But understand this. Brother Branham made a statement one time. He says Elijah was a prophet of God. He was a servant of God. He was there in Israel. And he was there in that city. I forget what city he was talking about there, but it was somewhere in Samaria where Ahab and Jezebel were. And he said, then he turns around and he says, now when God calls a pastor to a city, that pastor is a pastor of the whole city. He says he's the pastor of the mayor. He's the pastor of the police department. He's the pastor of the fire department. He's pastor of the whole thing. That's who he is. Listen, saints, wherever you live, stop thinking of you're under the burden of that city and of all these laws and Connecticut is a tough state. Stop thinking that way. You are in ownership position. These kingdoms are ours. They belong to us. Jesus purchased them. He owns them. Here's the question. Well, then, who manages it then? Who manages America? Who manages Connecticut? Probably some devil, some demons. Well, who's in control? Some devil, some demons. We know that. But that doesn't mean they own it. But then how can the devil offer Jesus these kingdoms? Did you read it clearly what he said? I think I ought to read it to you again because you might not have heard the devil's words here properly. He says, all this authority I will give you. The only thing Satan can give out is some level of authority. He can't give him the kingdoms. He's just going to give him some kind of control or management. Think about that. Because he says this, all this authority I will give you, and I can give you their glory. Watch what he says here. For this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. It's been delivered to him. When someone delivers something to someone else, that's the greater power. The greater power. Almighty God allows the devil to be in control and to manage this whole world. God allows him to do it. He's given him 6,000 years to build his own Eden. As God took 6 days, 6,000 years, whatever, to build his Eden, Satan's been doing the exact same thing. Does that make sense? But Jesus had the word that says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve. Get behind me, Satan. Amen. So it's the word, ultimately, that's going to be in charge. And own it. And not only own it, but ultimately take the controls. Jesus knew he would fall heir to them when he died on Calvary and rose again. So Jesus came back from the dead with the controls. He already had the ownership, but he also had the controlling rights and the managerial rights and the influential rights. We need to live beyond just influencing saints. We need to have the mindset that we own all this. Yes. You own every blade of grass that's at your property, every tree. You own everything down the street, up the street. You are under ownership. Hallelujah. How do I know this? Because God is seated on the throne in heaven. He is God alone. He is still seated on the throne. And he holds in his right hand the book, the title deed. That is the title deed of true, authentic ownership. He owns it all. Jesus paid for it. He owns it. And we are written, inscribed in his hand as well. We are part of it because we are, by association, by relationship, by blood connection, we are co-owners. Joint heirs with Jesus and co-owners of Almighty God of all these things. Do you love that? Oh, you should be excited. This is why he said, cast out devils. How am I going to do it, Brother Elijah? How do I cast out demons? You own them. Doesn't that change the way you think about it? Like, oh no, I got to go up against this demon. Oh boy, it's going to be tough. I'm going to try to make him move. I'm going to try to make... No, you're not. That's the wrong way to go about it. You're not going to influence the devil out of people. You're not really going to manage Satan out of people. Even the devil can manage his kingdom and move demons around. That's why sometimes you see a ministry that you're like, that ministry is so worldly, but they're casting out demons. Yeah, but the devil can move demons around. It doesn't mean the kingdom is divided against itself. Satan can move things around under that jurisdiction level of management, under control, because that's all he has. All he has is management and control. He doesn't have ownership. But when ownership shows up, anybody in control, anybody in management has to stand at attention. What do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Leave the man and go into the pigs. Yes, sir. You know? Think about that for a minute. It's very, very powerful when you think about that. Satan comes. He's trying to influence you. He's trying to deal in your flesh realm. He's trying to manage your body to do what he wants you to do. It's time for you to realize who you are. Manage your tongue. So what? The devil wants to influence your tongue, manage your tongue. Don't worry about that, saints. You, the you in you that's born again of the Holy Spirit, is the owner of the tongue. And the demon that's trying to influence your tongue and control your body, you have ownership of all that. You can tell it what to do. Oh, I hope you understand where we stand today. Hallelujah. We stand in power, great power from on high, Almighty God. So I'm going to read the last part of this Jeremiah. As we get there, let's see. Hallelujah. This is really great. Satan can only manage and control until the rapture. But even just before the rapture, this is the part where you've got to pick this up. We know Jesus Christ with all of us are coming back from heaven to the earth after the tribulation period to take full control and management. Already own it. He already bought it. He already purchased it. That's done. But to take the full control and management away from Satan, that's coming, right? But before the rapture, before the tribulation period, there is a season of time, and I believe, brothers and sisters, we are entering that time. That we, God is raising us up under such anointing.
Amen.
To take our ownership position and demonstrate a short, quick, powerful work to demonstrate. This bride will demonstrate to Satan, to powers, to principalities, to the whole world that we are not just trying to influence. We are not just trying to get management or whatever, but we are taking ownership and all that comes with it. We'll take control, management, influence, ownership, the whole thing, and we're going to show that. We will speak things into existence and unexist things by our spoken word. Hallelujah. That's powerful stuff. We will be able to do these things. People will be saved, healed by the spoken word, instantaneously resurrected. Hallelujah. Do you believe we're coming into that time? That's what he's raising us up to do. You have control of that. You say to this mountain, you say to this tree, you say to this disease, why are you crying? Speak, hallelujah. Our cries may influence God. God says, I come down because of the cries of the people. But they were slaves. People who cry are slaves. Why are you crying? Speak the word. Water can't stop you. Speak to the water. I'll either make a pathway through it or have you walk across it. Speak the word. Hallelujah. And God will do above and beyond all that you can imagine or ever even think. When two omnipotents meet, that's you, the believer, and Almighty God, the miraculous takes place. God, sometimes he loves to combine two things and make a third thing happen. Hallelujah. It'll be a nuclear explosion on the devil. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So as we get to the end of this nation's drinking of the cup of madness, which you I know most of you don't pay attention to the news, and that's all right. Don't do it. It's a waste of your time. But just so that you know enough is going on, because you can't help but you go to work, and people, have you heard what's on the news? And you're like, oh, okay. Just so you know, the madness out there, the craziness, is they're drinking the cup. And don't think, oh, God, what are you going to do? Our world is in trouble. God's doing it. Pay attention to the script. Pay attention to where we're at. On the music, you're on the wrong page. We're not in the 1950s or 40s. We're here, and God is doing it, and he's in control, and he's in charge. And you and I are blessed to be a part of it.
Amen.
We get to be part of this. So just know what's going on. Then there's no more fear. Now watch what it says. Therefore prophesy against them all these words, and say to them, the Lord will roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He will roar mightily against his fold. Think about what he's doing here. He will give a shout as those who tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. Wow, what a powerful statement. Think about the day we're living in. Think about Revelation 10. How that a mighty angel standing on the earth and the sea. Understand what that is. That is an absolute demonstration of ownership.
That's right.
Everywhere you place your foot is yours. You own it. That is ownership. That's not just control. That's not just management. That's ownership. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and started controlling and managing the church because that's the best he could do. But we're living in a day God prophesied and promised that it would come a time when it's ownership time. Can you say amen? When the Son of Man, which is a Hebrew term, Ben Adam, son of Adam, we're going back to the original Adam again. Jesus was the Son of Man. Is that right? He demonstrated that Son of Man position on the earth. He walked on water. Even a stormy, bad sea, he walked on it. That didn't bother him one bit. And he invited Peter to walk on it. Jesus is inviting you to walk on water.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
He's inviting you, as Jesus said, feed these people. How are we going to do it, Lord? All we have is a few coins, thanks to Judas. And somehow we're always bankrupt. And all we have is a kid's lunch. It's kid's lunch. And Jesus didn't see a kid's lunch. He saw 5,000, 15,000, because you don't have to count the mothers and the children. They were there too. They only counted the men when they set them up in 50 groups of 50. But 15,000, more than likely, men and women. Jesus didn't see a lunch bag. He saw multiplied creation. He, the one, Jesus, the one who rained bread down from heaven for Israel. Manna. Think about it. What is everything we eat? It's just atoms. It's just neutrons, protons, and electrons. Feeding neutrons, protons, and electrons. And they're all in the air. So God can just take the air, he just put things together, and there you go. Now, that's multiplied creation. There's times when God speaks new atoms into the existence. You don't believe that? But that's the truth. That's otherwise, we don't know what the word creation means. It means to bring something out of nothing. All of us are creators. How many can say amen? We're all creators. We're all creative. I'm not very creative, Brother Elijah. Oh, yes, you are. You're very creative. You're very, very creative. How many here has ever made a mountain out of a molehill? Yeah, that's right. You spoke it into existence. You complained and you complained and everything you complained about happened. You feared and you worried and everything you feared and worried about came to pass. Whatever you think, whatever you feel, whatever you speak, you're creating. The world you're living in, you created it. A little bit of locus of control here. You got to take responsibility of the control that we've had has been able to, even to that, under that level, it's been able to create things. Let's stop doing that, saints, and start turning it around. Because we're not just controllers, we're owners. Amen. You own it, lock, stock, and barrel. Can you say amen? Notice the Lord will roar. He will roar. This is a time when there's a roaring coming because we're moving from just being the church to being the bride of Jesus Christ, and the bride being the final voice. Praise the Lord. Remember, Brother Sherman, we said you can't preach the gospel till you live it. So we have to be the final voice. But also, she has, thus saith the Lord. So she gets to speak. If you're living it, you can speak it. If you are the final voice, you get to speak the final. How many believe you're the final voice? You are the last Jesus anyone will see, most people will ever see. You're it. And there's a roaring going on, and I don't know how to tell you this any other way, saints, but I tell you from my heart, I believe that there's a level of saturation of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Seven angels have come. That's his whole full presence. Can you say amen? That's anointing the bride around the world. Praise the Lord. Whether on land, whether on sea, it doesn't matter. And it's an ownership anointing because she's the queen. Praise the Lord. She's queen. She's Esther. Hallelujah. Around the world, he's anointing her. And she is just feeling fire in her bones. Something wants to roar out of her. Yes. Something wants to scream out of her. Something wants to roar and to speak, thus saith the Lord. And nothing will be able to stop it. Do you believe that? Oh, I'm excited about that. This is what God's trying to do. Watch this connection here with how many understands the seventh age. We're living in the seventh age, Laodicea. But it's all about seven angels coming down. But we are especially connected to the seventh angel. Because the last age rejected Christ, so therefore they rejected that. But we get all of them, but we're especially connected with that seventh anointing. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And watch what every time you see the seventh angel do something. Watch what happens here in Revelation 11. Now, we understand Revelation 11 ultimately is pointing into the tribulation period. It's pointing to the Jews, that 144,000 under two prophets. We get all that. That's why this is important. Because what we're doing here today, what's happening in the bride right now is leading into, it's heading toward the two prophets preaching to the Jews. Now, God can't deal with the Gentiles and the Jews at the same time. But there has to be a transfer of anointing. So it says, then the seventh angel sounded, seventh supernatural angel. Be like the seventh trumpet into the tribulation period. And this, by the way, is right at the end of the tribulation period. Because all seven of those sound all throughout the tribulation period. So keep that in mind. The prophet taught us this. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, here's our phrase, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever, and we will reign with him. The kingdoms of this world have become. This is not really ownership. He already owns them. But this is saying he is going to take charge and reign in a rulership position. Amen? This is what's going to happen. So I want you to understand that's what happens. But ultimately, it is the ownership aspect because this is the seventh trumpet is announcing Jesus is coming down. The Battle of Armageddon all happens under that seventh trumpet. Everything else unfolds under that. Battle of Armageddon, which is us in Christ fighting a war against Satan, right? With the sword of the spoken word, we'll deal with those demons again. But we get to have a little bit of practice before the rapture, starting now. Hallelujah! Start speaking. Start roaring out against things. You know what I'm saying? If the devil's trying to mess with your family, get somewhere where you can do it. If you want to do it in your home, do it in your home. If you want to do it right over your family, do it. They might not like you. But do it anyway. I claim you in the name of Jesus Christ. You are saved. You are going to make it. Hallelujah. Just start claiming family. Claim your friends. Claim everything around you. Why are we afraid to do this? Oh, what if the Lord doesn't want that? Do you not know the mind of your husband yet? Come on, Mrs. Jesus Christ. You should know his mind. You should have his mind. He wants anything you touch to be blessed. But it's impossible. That guy, he's homosexual. She's living with a woman. There's no, God doesn't care about that. Roar over that thing. Just use that ownership power that you have. Stop holding back. Why are we so afraid? Satan's going around roaring. He's a roaring lion. He's not a lion, and he's really just a whimpering kitty cat. But there's a black cat. Oh no, there's a purple cat. Oh no, there's a pole cat. Stop it, saints. If you could hear, if Jesus could say this, stop it. I want to see my bride be an Esther. Esther, come on. Just walk into the kingdom. I come now to claim my family. And he'll put his scepter out. It's all yours. It's all yours. I'm giving you you're my joint heir. I'll give you up to half the kingdom. That just simply means we own it together. You're my queen. We are joint heirs together. Hallelujah. Just take it. Don't be afraid to do it. And then finally, Daniel 18, just to show you how many understands that Jesus purchased. See, there's two parts of redemption, right? There's the side of it that's the purchase side. But it doesn't mean you have possession yet. How many's ever purchased something that you didn't possess instantly? Anybody order on Amazon? I'm telling you, Amazon Prime is amazing. Whatever. That's what I've heard. I use somebody else's. I don't even have one. But what I'm telling you, just so you get this, is we do this all the time. We purchase and we wait and somebody delivers it. Are you starting to get the picture? Jesus purchased. His blood landed on the earth. Brother Ram says, what was he doing? He was purchasing the earth. Jesus' blood was never spilled by mistake. It was shed on purpose. The Bible is very clear using certain language. His blood was the price that was paid. And he wasn't just purchasing the earth as it was then. He was purchasing the past. Remember how Satan said, I'll give you, he showed him all the kingdoms in a moment of time, past, present. What? How can Jesus be the Lord of the past kingdoms? Because those people who lived back then were still somewhere, including Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The devil still had them in Hades, but they were separated by a chasm. They were in kind of a special place. It was called paradise, but it was in Hades. Jesus talks about this. And the devil's giving. So what does the Bible tell us? Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, that he may redeem those who were under the law. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Adam, Abel, all of the true children of God in the past, his blood purchased them. They were under lambs and bulls that was speaking symbolically of a real blood that would finally come and get them out of hell. And hell cannot prevail against you anymore. The gates of hell cannot do it because Jesus' blood is that powerful, saints. It's an ownership claim. Do you get the picture? So that's why he went down. He took them all out of that. He emptied, brought paradise up, you know, and into out of the fifth dimension into the sixth dimension. And just briefly, I want to share this with you. I've been communicating with somebody on Reddit. I say these things to you because, like, this stuff is so new to me, and yet it's been around 10, 15, whatever. People are like, oh, that's old. But on Reddit, it's interesting. He made a statement, and I just didn't want to resist that statement because it was really interesting what he was trying to say. And he was talking about how he felt that God designed mankind, human destiny. He made us as to be his children and to be able to do the things that Jesus did. And the reason Jesus came was to demonstrate how we should be able to live. And I'm like, nobody says that. Nobody, no denomination says that. We believe that. So I said, and I just threw it in there. I said, yes, and walk on water, pass through walls, travel with just by thought. I'm just using, you know, the message. I just thought it'd be throw that out there. He writes me back. He says, if that subject is something you're working on, I want to hear it, man. You got to send me everything. So I don't know what's going on with that, but it's very interesting stuff. So, but saints, that's exactly what ownership does. That's the position we've been given by the purchase of Jesus Christ. And I want you to just take that and absorb that and realize it's no longer about me fighting the devil or me fighting my bad behavior. I'm in charge. And more than being in charge, I own this. Take ownership. You don't have to just, you know, go, oh boy, I got to go fall for this. I got to lose my cool. I got to, this is just me. This is my behavior. You know, I looked it up in an astrology book and I was born under a certain star. I'm supposed to be this kind of a person. Don't put yourself in that category. Remember, Brother Branham says when you're born again, you're under a completely different thing. You're under a different kind of a star. You're under the morning star, Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the bright morning star. So, saints, I want you to just stop pigeonholing yourself. That could be the trick of the devil. And realize that you get to decide. You get to speak about what your life is going to be. And I'm going to word it just a slightly different way to hopefully help you. Brother Branham says that we all think we're waiting for Jesus to come. He says he's waiting for us. Well, then what's he waiting for? In other words, he's waiting for you to say the right thing. Brother Ram says, when you say the right thing, he comes. And when he comes, something good happens. Every time. He's waiting for you to have the right thought. He comes. He's waiting for you to have the right feeling. He comes. And there's another part that's really important, because this is the part where people throw up their hands and say, what are we supposed to do? We, in this modern age that we live in, are swimming around in a pool of EMFs. You understand what I'm talking about? The electromagnetic field or spectrum, because of all the towers and your cell phone, these things, everything is just your walls of your homes. When you get into the smaller area like your bedroom, it's just emanating at you. You got to understand something. Satan from the fifth dimension more easily gets to the fourth dimension to influence. That's why people say they've seen aliens. All it is just a demon semi-materializing. They're actually seeing something. It's a being. It's a demon semi-materializing. That's a spirit without a body. It looks ugly like that. But angels coming all the way from the seventh dimension are also materializing. Hallelujah. And they can come all the way because they are owners. They're part of the ownership. God's, they're not owners. We're the owners, but they're helping heirs of salvation. So catch this and understand this, what I'm saying. Sometimes you can walk into a store, a building, and you walk out and you feel emotionally a wreck. Or you feel angry for no reason. You're just angry. You're upset. Or you just feel broken or depressed. And you're like, I don't understand this. Those buildings, those places, even traveling down your highways, your roads, are just emanating spiritual warfare. That's why people can just pick up a gun and go and start shooting people. They're like plants of the devil. He just, you know, he put them here, he injects them, they go do whatever he wants. This is the world we're in. But if you're a child of God, with the blood of Jesus Christ on you and the lick of fire in your life, and you've got Him around you, you believe in Him, you've accepted Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you have a shield. You have, as it were, a bubble of protection. That's God's grace. It doesn't mean you won't feel some things, but it means you say, oh, I know what that is. I want you to walk away from here this afternoon and say, from now on, I'm going to be well aware of what's going on. When I start feeling weird or strange or having the wrong attitude, I'm going to stop myself and I'm going to remember, I own this position. I own this spot. Jesus Christ purchased this for me that I could be part of His family, and I'm taking charge of this. I don't have to fall for every little thing the devil throws my way because I'm standing on the promises of God. And just use your words and speak it. Start using, do it the way Jesus did. Don't just say words. Devil, get out of here, you pig. I don't like you anymore, you old gnarly looking beast. That's okay if you want to use that. But sometimes that makes you feel better. But get back to the place where all you're doing is making Scripture yours. Rule, control, manage, but own by the Word. Take the written Word, let it become living Word, then speak it out as spoken Word. Then you're in charge. Because the devil can't mess with you. Now, if you're not living the Word and you're trying to speak the Word, he knows a hypocrite better than you do. He'll spot you a mile away. He likes you. Remember, he took 2/3 of the angels back in the big war in heaven. 1/3 of the angels was unbelievers, and the other 1/3 was make-believers. The other 1/3 that stayed there were believers. And that's why you have an angel anointing you as an heir of salvation. Isn't that exciting? A believing angel, because you're a believer. Now, we end on Daniel. Because Jesus purchased with his blood, he owns it. And I'm going to wrap this up now. He owns it, but he doesn't want to own it for himself. Do you think Jesus wants to live on this earth and be the king and have no queen, have no family? That's not God's program. The whole program of God is all centered in love. It's a divine romance. He's going to have a bride. He's going to have a queen. We know that, right? So watch what Daniel says about this. All the kingdoms have become a kingdom. All on the earth have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, of His anointed. Now this anointed is also His anointed ones. His anointed encapsulated is Jesus and His bride. Does everybody understand that? Christ, the anointed, He's the head. The bride, the anointed, we're the body. Praise the Lord. He's not going to have an anointed head and not anointed body. As David says, like the oil that runs down from Aaron's beard all the way down to the hem of his garment. So the body has to be anointed too. Why would God have Elisha have an anointed body, anointed bones? People threw a dead man on his bones and they popped up and came back to life. Why would God have Elisha's whole body anointed? We know those prophets had their whole body anointed. That's why they can give a little thread off of their clothing, a little piece of cloth, and people were getting healed by the anointing on the thread. So if that's true, then what about Mrs. Jesus Christ? Are you the body of the Lord Jesus? Then I tell you right now, you're anointed with resurrection power. You're anointed with rapture power. You're anointed with ownership power. And it's up to you what you want to do with it. Are you bringing back just the ownership talent, or are you going to bring back a multiplied? That's the whole. So Daniel 7, 18, 22, 27, you don't need to turn there. I'll read it to you. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Until the Ancient of Days came, the judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. How many here is the saint of the Most High? And the time came that for the saints to possess the kingdom. Oh, saints. Hallelujah. The time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. This is an ownership thing. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven, here's our kingdoms of the whole world, shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey Him. How many can say, amen, thus saith the Lord, that's the scripture. God's program is to have His ultimate kingdom rule over all the kingdoms of the world. And all of us are going to end up playing a role in that rulership. Praise the Lord. I don't believe those nations will be done away with. I still believe Germany will be Germany. Now, the buildings and things may all be different. But nevertheless, hey, if God is going to have me in charge of Germany, I'll do it. I'll take it. Maybe France. Anybody here want France? God knows what he's got in mind for us. He's going to put us in charge of all the nations. Because the Bible says when we get into the when the great kingdom of the city of God is on the earth, remember this? All the nations of the world have to bring worship once a year. And that's that. It's going to be at the Feast of Booths, right? The Feast of Sukkoth, the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the last of the seven feasts. It speaks of the millennium and of the new heaven, new earth. They're going to bring their worship, and they have to bring basically their tithe once a year. They're going to bring, well, it might just be fruits, vegetables, it might be all kinds of good things. I don't know about gold and silver and all that. I think pretty much that's, oh, well, you need that. That's pavement, right? I'm building a house with silver. Thank you for that, silver. I'll go finish my house and just speak it. But here's the thing. You got to understand it, saints. This is what we're coming to. That you are part of something way bigger than just surviving Laodicea. Hallelujah. You wouldn't be here in this age if God didn't know you could overcome in a great way. It's a tough battle. I admit it. We're sweating it out. It's hard because the whole world is against you. The church world is against you. All of the religions are against you. And even from within, we have people against us. Paul says, I'm attacked from without and within. We can't have less than the Apostle Paul. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't have any less than that. But see, Christ suffers, dies, ascends, and finally takes the book, the title deed, not for himself. He takes it for himself and for us. Do you get it now? Do you see what I'm saying? And what he does is he sneaks into the devil's kingdom in 1909, just slips in. Satan doesn't even know. Now, the devil knows something's going on because the pillar of fire showing up is the devil's, oh, what's going on now, right? Pillar of fire showed up in 1909. So don't get this wrong. The devil starts moving too. He's got stuff he's doing. Go study history. You'll see the devil starts moving. He starts realizing, I better hurry up and do my thing. So, and it's all centered on America. God sets his focus on America. Satan sets his focus on America. Everything's happening at the same time. God comes down in 1963 and rips open the Word, the Bible, and reveals, in other words, the scroll in his hand. He sends down pre-revelation of it coming through the written Word, the Bible, by a prophet. Can you say amen? What is it saying? It's telling you your name, who you are. You're part of this. You're an owner. You're one of mine. You're my son. You're my daughter. You're my seed. You're my offspring. You belong to me. I belong to you. Hallelujah. That's the revelation. That's the new birth. Amen. 1963, Satan takes full possession of the airwaves through television. Yes. Go study history. He already had radio. He got television. Or hellavision. Or whatever you want to call it. But you get what he's doing. God opens a window to heaven, a television, by opening his word so we can see who we really are. Satan opens his television to give a lie out, a deception, to tell people who that what they're really not. It's all happening in parallel. Every time God makes a move, if God makes a move, Satan makes a move. If God raises up a Jesus, Satan raises up a Judas. You see the picture? Everything that God is doing, you know, if God sends out a lion, Satan sends out a white horse. If God sends out an ox, you see how it goes? They're just happening right together like twins. Bang, bang, they're coming at each other to match up. But ultimately, the eagle wins in the end. Can you say amen? Just like the Eagles, did they win the last Super Bowl? I don't know. We're going to win this thing as eagles flying off to be with him. So here's what I want you to understand. He is doing it to give it to us. And not really a temporal way, but in a certain way, he's handed each one of us a token of ownership. You own this. I own it. He purchased it, but then he's sharing ownership with us. He says, Sherman, my son, here's that little lick of fire. Here's that token. Your soul, your spirit, your body, So that's under, this is our jurisdiction. You and Christ are ruling together. This is what we get to have. If you start feeling aches and pain in your body, you want to get rid of it? What are you waiting for? Oh, I got to call the pastor and have him pray for me. That's okay. You can do that. But that was under management age. This is ownership age. You could be laying in a hospital and I don't even have to go there. We're still, oh, come lay hands on me. We got to get beyond that, saints. I don't mind. I still believe in it. But I also think we need to leave the babyhood behind and the adolescent behind and become adults, mature, and realize all we need to do is get on the phone, or we don't even need to be on the phone. Just speak the word and watch God move. Do you believe that with all your heart? How many loves him? With all your heart. Start speaking it. Now, this is what I believe. There are so many people out there that are God's children that are ordained to be in this bride to go into rapture. There are so many out there. I don't know everybody who they are. You don't know who they are. But how many knows they're out there? Then why aren't you praying for them? We don't necessarily pray for the whole world. We're praying for God's children. And Lord, just lead me, Lord. Let me be in the right place, right time. Give me the discernment to know that you're doing something. Lead that person to Christ and just start praying for people. And even pray in a way of ownership where you're saying, oh God, I'm hearing now that there's people now in Dominican Republic, they're starting to catch a hold of this message. They've been in a dark world for so long. Lord God, I pray for every single one of your seeds sitting there that they'll come, and they'll come in. Start praying for them. Your prayers are more powerful than if you worked extra hours, bought a ticket, flew down there and tried to help a few people. Your words have more power. Your prayer has more power than anything else you can do. Honestly, prayer is the secret. Now, may God bless you, and I appreciate you. How many loves him with all your heart? Just let it roar, saints. What are you waiting for? Don't hold back. Roar out, because we're living in a time for his voice to be roaring. With the book in his hand that he says, take it, eat it, let it become part of you. It'll be sweet in your mouth. How many loves the word? It's sweet in your mouth, but it's going to be bitter in your stomach because you realize people are not going to like it. But who cares? You got to get to the point where who really cares? I don't care who likes it or doesn't like it. I'm doing something that pleases the Lord. So I'm just going to speak it with all my heart. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Musicians, come. Father, we love you so much, and we know your word cannot fail. Heaven and earth may pass away, but your word will never fail. It'll never pass away. Every single thing you spoke will be fulfilled. You cannot come back to you void. It must be fulfilled. And I thank you, Lord, that you're fulfilling your word in us right now. The open book is now open. Your bride is now the book made flesh in this hour. And Lord, now it's time for a written word, which has become a revealed word, and a living word to become a spoken word. Let it be just uttered out from the depths of your bride and transform the world that we live in, oh God. We know we cannot change, Lord, the other things going on, but we have true ownership. We should not be afraid of anything, but perfect love casts out all fear. Granted, Father God, we pray right now. We ask, O Lord Jesus, let us have discernment and realize and recognize when you're putting us in front of someone who's your child, who's your seed. And may we not look at the veil, but may we see something past the veil, that you have a plan, and you expect that the seed will move through the body. The seed has to go through the body. You needed a Philip to go meet an Ethiopian eunuch. You had to have a man with the seed get to another person who needed the word to give birth to the seed. Oh God, I pray, Father God, bring in that last one, oh Lord Jesus. It'll be one and done, oh Lord. When the last one comes in, then we're going to go to see you. We're so happy, so excited. Lord, we're like the dewdrops in the morning on the grass, just shimmering under the light of the sun, the rising sun. Oh Lord, because we are so excited that the heat is going to raise us up and into the air to meet you, Lord Jesus. Bless your people, I pray, in your precious name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What song do we do? Yes, amen. Let's just stand as we sing it. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power
In the name of the Lord, though Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. For many years now, Satan's tried to stop us, but the bride of Jesus is still alive. She's like a mighty army. We keep marching onward. Every battle, 'cause the Lord's on our side. Sing it now. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages like a roaring lion, we will not be defeated, because we've got the power in the name of the Lord. So give me your hand. Give me your hand. Let's agree together. And all our enemies will humble at our feet. For whatever we bind on earth, come on, owners, shall be bound in heaven. And at the name of Jesus, Satan, you have to flee. Hallelujah. Sing it now. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. Yes, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we've got the power in the name of the Lord. We've got the power. God bless you. In the name